right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my co-host, Roger Robbins, today. We are going to have a great talk, I think, today.
Yes.
This week, all week, we will be discussing social media and technology and what we have termed the digital age, the age we live in. And specifically today, we have we want to focus in on a certain aspect of it. So we have titled today's episode, The Digital Age, Convenience versus Connection. Mm. And we're hoping to stir the pot a little bit, maybe give you some statistics you haven't heard before. I don't know, just get us thinking about the age that we're living in and becoming, I think, more aware of the maybe the snares, the traps that yes. are within the digital age, right?
Yes. I mean, it's a great topic because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's really the basis of the topic is like, yes, we are surrounded. Some would say we're besieged. You know what I mean? We were reading earlier this chapter in Ecclesiastes 9.
Yeah.
Where there's a poor wise man that delivers a city that's been besieged. Maybe that's how you feel today, you know, about this age, that it has come across, you know, it's circling us and mm-hmm. has now it's just kind of like getting a, you know, its grip on us is tighter and tighter into a place yeah. where it's almost choking, you know,
yeah.
it's too much.
I mean, so when we say the digital age, what we're talking about is the fact that our generation, actually, those who are in their late 30s, early 40s, we are some of the last people who remember a childhood without the internet.
Right.
We are the last of them.
We are
going extinct.
With cords.
Yes. We remember house phones. Yep. Where you had to call the house and say,
even a voicemail and answering machine.
Yep. Yeah. So there's a lot that is new. And when we talk to people who are in their 20s, who are adults, but they are from a different age, mm-hmm. we have to kind of acknowledge that. And I think that's what we're hoping to sort of bring some clarity to when we talk about this digital age is that there are people who don't remember anything different, and what they consider normal, we would like to say, push back and say that it may be normal for today's society, but it does not mean that it should be accepted by us as believers, which is true of all the ages before.
Correct.
Right?
And let's add one more category of folks. You know, we have the like maybe 50 and over, mm-hmm. which really represents, you know, its own age and its own beautiful era where, like you said, we didn't have this information. We didn't have this highway that
yes.
ran through the ocean with yes. these cables.
Yeah. Things were harder.
Bringing information. However, it was, you know, snail mail, you know, like we would write the letters and send
yes.
them by post and expect them to arrive in a few weeks,
yeah.
this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And to that crowd, we ask that you would also, as you have and so beautifully cared for the younger generation, consider what they're going through, I think mm-hmm. is also like maybe a little word of encouragement, but also exhortation.
Yeah.
That it is not easy. And I think most folks, like our grandparents, they look at us and they come alongside, they pity us sometimes.
Yeah.
We're like, man, it's not easy, you know?
Well, I think that's a good point.
And we
point.
Need that. You
like,
know, we need you.
There was so much that was harder 50 years ago. And we use the word convenience here in the title. And I think that's a good thing to point out is that a lot of what has come with the package that is technology, the increase in, you know, the internet, smartphones, all of these things, there's been an increase in convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Many things have gotten quote unquote easier to do. And you know, you always hear, you know, your grandparents back when I was a kid, you
yes.
know, we had to, you know, and the young people roll their eyes. Oh, it was so hard for you. But it's true that one of the benefits
yeah.
of technology is this convenience aspect, mm-hmm. which we as society value very highly. just the access to information, right? That we don't, you don't have to go to, you don't even have to go to a library now to look up research. You don't have to go to your doctor's office to get medical advice.
Yes.
We can do all of those things from the safety and confines of our own homes. And that is very convenient. It would save you the trip. It would save you the time it takes to go and dig through, you know, you think about a library full of, you know, volumes and volumes of information, and it would take you time to look through those. And now we don't have to do that. Right. We use a search bar. We put in what we're looking for and we find it. So that is very convenient.
It is. And it has its reward. We're not going to just push it under the rug and say, hey, with this convenience, like you said, it's complete, you know, waste of time. No, it really has brought amazing, because we want to say, I think at the outset of this, that the digital age has also come, because we're going to talk about some of the negative parts through some of these statistics and kind of like dive into the effects of the data we see from the last 20 years, right? Because they say the digital age started like late 70s, but then was like 90, 91,
you
know, 89, 91, the first computer started. But with these advances, we have also been blessed with great, through the wealth of information, a healing that's come through science. You know, like I mentioned, you know, we were able to map the human genome, like to literally map the DNA of a human being. And it literally offers like an instruction booklet to like how we're made up, the matter that's within us. And it's now helping us in science to like help with the cures and diseases. I mean, the cures that we seek through the diseases that we're facing today and many other things that because of that supercomputer that helped house the information. Yeah. I think it's like 3 billion bits of information just in one piece of the strand or something like that. Like it is now blessing us.
Yes.
And it's paying off.
Yeah. And I would think another one would be, you know, how the internet has connected people. You can communicate with people across the world.
Right. Like the spread this Grace of, Hour program,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it
it's
used to
thanks
be
thanks to the digital age.
Yeah,
that this
we would
goes
listen
over.
To this on the radio and you know, we heard stories of people climbing up on the roof.
Yeah, you
with
think
their
about
antennas just trying to catch this, but now we have it in like HD, you know, like it's we can see so clearly.
Or just how news, you know, like if something horrible is going on, an injustice, a genocide, something is happening in another part of the world, we can raise the flag and it can be heard immediately.
Yes.
Instantaneously.
We can come to their need and their support. And
yeah, like the idea of live streaming some event. So really cool. Very cool things have come from the digital advances that we have made as humanity has progressed. But of course, like many things, there are things hiding in the wings. Mm-hmm. There are dangers that were lurking that maybe weren't so obvious at the start when we hit start on this whole internet that led to, you know, smartphones that have the internet in your pocket now.
Yeah.
Remember when you had to connect to the internet and it dialed up at your home?
And it made that funny noise.
Does anyone remember that? Comment. It was like, wee, 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 and you were like waiting. And God forbid somebody else would be trying to connect in the same house.
Yeah.
You know, so even when we had the internet, there was this like progression to the point where now you've literally have it in your pocket walking outside. Mm. I mean, it's incredible how that has happened in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And in that, we now are starting to more clearly be able to see the pitfalls, the dangers that have come with that.
And so maybe quickly, just briefly mentioning Genesis chapter 2 and 3, the wholeness of man, right? We wanted to maybe just touch on that for a minute, that there at the beginning, man and Adam and Eve were complete and not needing anything outside of what God had offered. When sin entered and God, you know, really didn't mean for this to happen, but with the devil being his plan to sever and to separate that wholeness, or we would say dismember, and break down the parts, From the moment of the fall, we see that man has struggled with his wholeness.
Yeah.
And that has been a point of attack that the devil is constantly through the ages, yes. through every age,
right.
as he has been in his, ever since he fell, in his war room, so to speak, with his demons on how to best snare man and trip up the woman, and continually will be through, it seems, separation or to divide the pieces of man and his heart, his mind, his soul, you know, all the different pieces, to the point now where we have fast forwarded and we're in this age, we see that like, because of the age that we live in, we have such a disparity between these groups, between mind and body. Like we have so many of those that we can see around us living in a world of entertainment and fantasy.
Yes.
That are so separated
completely
from reality.
Disconnected. Yeah.
Right. So what was one of those examples?
Yeah. Remember? Well, I was thinking, if anybody has read the book Ready Player One, or if there's a movie now,
yes,
but it's in the dystopian future, but it's really not so distant anymore. But the idea is that people have begun to live their lives completely on a digital plane. And that means that they're living in these kind of cubicle homes, but then they live these elaborate fantasy lives through virtual reality. And the movie, of course, expands on the how crazy that is and and how sad that is. And one of the things that I think when you talk about disconnecting a person from their physical body, which is like when you live in the digital world, your physical body is not involved in that.
It is not present.
Your mind is engaged. Your emotions are engaged there, but your physical body is not represented. Like if you have an online presence, it's a, there's a disconnect. And because of that, you start to see this loss of actual real human value and dignity. We see the way that, that people could behave online, for example, if they see their neighbor in real life, they're friendly, they're respectful, but the way that they would speak to a person online, they're degrading. They are, you know, really disrespectful. There's a, such a lack of dignity.
Yeah.
We think about the pornography industry where we have completely disconnected true intimate relationship from sex. And the online aspect of that has just made that even more stark and so unhealthy, so broken. It's horrible to think that the dignity of humanity has gone down as our technology has increased.
Right. And so what you're saying is that the technology, as it has increased, it's offered a convenience or like, let's just say a package.
Yeah.
Just like that shiny apple was to Eve and Adam, right? Like that same package being there presented for us to take a hold of. And to really resist, like it says in 2 Kings 17, when he was warning the people of Israel again, he makes comments here. It says, and they went after false idols and became false. I think it's interesting that like the convenience that has been offered, you know, very fast, very, and I think that's one thing we wanted to like mention, like the speed in which this age is presenting its convenience.
Yeah.
It doesn't even almost give us time to question it, but we don't realize that that false promise, false narrative, false trend or age, our spirit, it also ensnares us and makes us false.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing that we see again and again in the Old Testament that God warned the people of Israel, please, please, I am the greatest nation. You know, it says in 1 Kings, when the Lord took away the kingdom from Solomon, he said, I thought this was interesting just to make a quick comment. 1 Kings 11, verse 9, he said, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing. So God is faithful to reveal these things to us in every age that, that we have erred and we have gone wrong. And it says he commanded him concerning the things that he should not go after which are other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, I have commanded you, I will surely tear away the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. So it becomes a practice.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, we wanted to just mention that the age that we're, every age wants us to practice something, you know, like you have God saying, follow me, be my, let me be number one in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Practice me, you know, do the things I have commanded you to do, right? Versus there is an offering outside of God through the God of this world saying, practice,
yeah,
practice this. Yeah. And for today, don't you think, like in the digital age, it is a fast-paced convenience.
And I think it, I mean, it's not just convenience that it's offering safety. Like, right.
Yeah.
Like if I can do something online, mm-hmm. It's less risky. I think about relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, how risky are relationships? They're incredibly risky. We have to put ourselves out there. We have to be vulnerable with each other. You have to know me truly.
Yeah,
and I have to know you.
Yeah. Convenient in the sense that it doesn't really cost much.
Right.
Right?
So there's not a lot of risk. So it's not just convenience time wise.
Mm-hmm.
It's also convenience risk wise
where
right. this is a low, if I'm going to be addicted to pornography online, that is much lower risk mm-hmm. than having to have real relationships, real
yes.
intimate friendships with people.
Right.
Right? So I think, you know, that when we think about it, it's like this digital world can create a disconnect between reality,
mm-hmm.
right, and our physical bodies. And I did want to mention, you know, when we were living in on the mission field in Turkey, and we had a great church Instagram account where people could reach out and ask for a Bible, and it was a great tool. I think we used social media as best we could.
We sure did.
As a tool,
it
as a
really
part of our ministry.
In a country that was hard to reach.
In a country, especially where people are afraid of, you know, maybe the repercussions that
right.
there could be if they were interested in Christianity or had questions or doubts about their own faith. So we used social media.
We had many people come
example.
To the Lord through it.
We did
ask
live
for Bibles.
We did live streams of our concerts mm-hmm. where people could connect. So, you know, we were happy to use that. But I remember once a young lady reached out and asked some questions, and I was responding as best as I could. And eventually I said, would you like to meet? And I could give you a Bible and try and answer some of your questions. And so we ended up meeting. And I remember before we met, I said, you know, I'm the one with red hair. You can't miss me because in Turkey there's not a lot of redheads.
And that's also the picture you have on
yes,
your Instagram
right.
account,
and
right?
And I connected her to my personal Instagram account. This is me. You can see my kids. This is
yeah.
my husband. This is us in Izmir. You know, it represented my real life.
Mm-hmm. As best you could,
as
right?
As best yeah, that yeah. a highlight reel can, right? So when I went to meet this young lady, I had her Instagram account, and mm-hmm. I expected to meet a young woman who
the
looked like
saw.
The person on the Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And the young lady who approached me and said, are you Liz? I did not recognize her. And I realized that the way she presented herself online was completely different than what she really looked like. She had used these heavy filters and photo editing so that she looked completely different. Her
yes.
nose was a different shape. The shape of her face was completely
yeah, the tone
different.
Of her skin.
The color of her eyes was different.
Wow.
This girl who I met in person was not the girl that I had been in contact with and getting to know online. And it broke my heart because this girl was living and presenting herself online completely disconnected from who she truly is. Mm-hmm. And why did she do that? Because she didn't think that who she really was in her real physical body mm-hmm. with what the way that God had actually made her was enough, was acceptable, was lovable, was worthy.
Mm.
And I think that that is one of the huge pitfalls of being able to present yourself online
mm-hmm.
is that it speaks to our brokenness. Like her lack of self-image, self-respect
right.
was applauded. You know, she was welcomed and accepted because she presented a false version of herself mm-hmm. instead of being who she truly is. Mm. And I think it's something that we have to realize, and we want to teach our kids, but it starts with us, is that in life in general, like, we are under attack. Mm-hmm. Like, as believers, we have to have our eyes wide open to realize, like you mentioned, this idea of being besieged, like a city with walls that's under siege. It's being attacked, and you have to be able to have the resources within your walls to withstand that.
Yeah.
I think it's a great analogy, because if we don't realize that we're under siege, then we're not going to be prepared.
And right? Yeah, we're not going to be prepared. And for as Christians, we do have the, like, this amazing weapon called wisdom. And I think that's how we're going to, in every age, be delivered.
Yeah.
The poor little wise man with his wisdom delivered the city.
And he spoke in quiet.
Yeah. And then it says that they forgot what he said and they forgot what he did. Mm. And that's true of every age. And that's true of you and me as dad and mom to the kids, or as a pastor of a church, or a layman, or a young adult of any, denomination or faith. Like, I mean, in the Christian faith, like, we do lose sight of that, but we get back to the reality that wisdom, a man of understanding draws it out. No. The heart of man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding draws it out, mm-hmm. right? Like, we have deep water, but that understanding will help draw it out. Yeah. And that understanding can deliver us from this real surrounding of sorts. And I was thinking, when we talk about and like trying to help understand, like, okay, this convenience or the connection mm-hmm. in this age, here are some of the things that I thought were just good for us to like see, that in every age, we have to look out for the cultural narratives, cultural story, the spin that age, like you said, applauds, appreciates, like, where's everyone going? Herd mentality going this way. We have to like take a minute and stop. It's like that song, take a minute, stop. Around and listen. What's that song? Anyway,
stop, cooperate, right, listen. Tracy's back with a brand new edition.
Oh, wow, that was just completely random.
Amazing.
But you do have to stop.
Yeah.
Because the cultural narrative is like literally wooing you.
Yeah.
Like bringing you down. The second thing is trends. Like, you got to know the trends.
I can't stop singing that song in my head.
It just came into my head. I'm sorry. God forgive me. But you know what I mean? Like, those trends have a real strength to them, and they're looking for handles on us.
It's good to be able to notice them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's not that we bury them in the sand. And I think later this week, I think in the episode that Dr. Mueller, one of the guests, starts coming up, he talks about this, that we as parents and as believers should know the trends, not that we participate in them and bring, like, we don't draw wisdom from them. We just diagnose them and we put them on the table.
Yeah, our eyes are wide open.
These are there. And then the last thing is like every age has a spirit. And so with that, we have the Holy Spirit helping us discern that spirit.
Yeah.
And that spirit needs to be, like you said, put on the table, nailed on the wall. Like,
it's,
hey,
so true.
I got you. The light's out. Yeah. And I think that's an important reality. And the thing that does that the most is I think a good word that we use for understanding or wisdom is called prudence.
Mm-hmm.
Prudence.
What an old school word.
It's an old school word.
Prudence.
We're bringing it back this week. So prudence is really an amazing gift that we are bestowed and given through looking and following the precepts of those who have gone before us.
Yeah.
And most of all, God himself giving it to us. And it is, like, in a way, very much the word we use for discernment.
Yes.
And
that's the other word
we
I was
can
thinking.
Like cut through, we can point out.
Yeah. You can just nail it to the wall.
And we know this, like moms out there or dads that have had this discernment about what's going on in their child's life or someone in a situation in their home or family at work, God gives it to you because as we, you know, like the snares that you talked about, like for every snare in this age, you know, like in every age that has been set before us, you know, with these snares of the devil, there's also steps, you know, like there's, we're going to climb.
Yeah.
We're going to do great things. Like, I think I don't want to lose sight of that. Just,
I mean, this, I think that's the point, is that it's not like, you know, you mentioned the herd mentality. Like, it's not like there's no hope for us in this, but if we don't choose to listen for that little wise man's voice, and we just listen to the loud yelling voices, because it says in Ecclesiastes 9:17, it said that the words of the wise man, the poor wise man, are heard in quiet and are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. And there's always the opportunity for us to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Like, we are so equipped, so capable. In the siege, like, we have a source that is absolutely, like, always ready and there for us. But the snare is that we would lose that connection with wise people in our lives, and also our relationship with God.
Right.
And I did want to mention, you know, just in terms of, like, where we're at in the United States, I mentioned this when we did this episode on smartphones last year. I think it was like last May. I don't even know when that was, but there's a U.S. Surgeon General warning from 2023, and it's termed our epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And it's an advisory on the healing effects of social connection and community. Mm. And you can look it up. And in that advisory, which is of course purely like medically, scientifically based, but it's talking about connection. Social connection is a basic human need. And it says that lacking connection increases the risk of premature death in the same levels, comparable levels, to smoking daily. So we know our medical facts. We know smoking is bad. But do we recognize, like, have we opened our eyes to the fact that if we are not connected to the people around us in genuine, real ways, it is bad for our physical health. This speaks so much to this wisdom that you mentioned about the wholeness of a person, like that you have a physical body. Yes, you have a mind and a spirit, but you have a physical body that God designed to be in community with people, that you would have conversation, eye contact, physical touch. These are, they are absolutely basic human needs. But unfortunately, what we see, it says here, 50% of American adults report experiencing loneliness, and the highest rates are in young adults. You would think, oh, maybe it's the elderly, but it's not.
Yes.
The highest rates of reported loneliness are in young adults. And not only is that true, but only 20% of those recognize it as a major problem. And I think that's where the heart of this episode lies, is that we want to, with you, and with the Lord, humbly recognize our folly within this digital age. Like, mankind has always been easily fooled. You mentioned Adam and Eve in the garden. They were deceived.
Yeah.
We as a species are easily deceived. We are easily, and we're quick to yield to what to us looks like a good deal, like what we would call temptation in the Bible, is always presented as a good deal. This is like, you're going to want this.
Right.
And we're like, oh yeah, you're right. I think I do. So what is wisdom? Wisdom starts with humbly admitting our folly, like humbly admitting that this is a problem.
Yeah. Cause we want to get back to connection, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying, like, the convenience bringing us far from reality, right? Far from truth, from gravity, and has brought us towards a place that is, you know, just not real, a place that is lonely, isolated, right? Proverbs 18:1 talks about isolation. It's not good for a man. How does it go? Quote it correctly. It says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desires. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Proverbs 18:1. Yeah. Like, it's not sound. It's not good judgment. Yeah. So, okay, get me back. Get me back. Get me back to connection. Like, let's talk about that. How do we do that? Like, how do we practically and, you
well, know, again, and I think not to like beat a dead horse, but if there are those who think that they're finding connection online, I just would like to counter to say that you are not.
Right.
If you are in a chat room and you're connecting, quote unquote, connecting with all these people, you're sharing your opinion, you know, you're getting to know their opinions, and you think that if you've done that, that you've connected with people and you've made relationships, I would counter that you haven't. Mm-hmm. Because what you've done is, in place of a real relationship where you have to look someone in the eye, you have to know all about them.
Yes.
You've chosen this a chat room that's safe for you. They don't have to know who you are. They don't know what your living room looks like. They don't know what your fridge looks like. They don't know who your mom and your dad are. They don't know how you handle this or that. You know, like, they don't know you.
Yes.
They know a version of you that's disembodied. Mm-hmm. It's not connected to who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true, I think, across generations. I mean, we talk to our kids like, you just spent an hour building a fortress on Minecraft. That doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't real. It's not reality. Mm-hmm. We want them, and it's entertainment. You know, we recognize there's things people do that aren't reality, that, you know, watching a movie, that's not reality.
Right.
Okay. But we need to, like you said, point it out, mm-hmm. like know, like identify it. Understand that when you're doing that, it's not real connection
mm-hmm.
or it's not real building.
And it's not survival. Let's also like point to the facts. Like, you know, this convenience is not how we survive.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You were saying like reading statistics, it sounds like I'm going to die early. It sounds like I'm going to die lonely. It sounds like I'm going to die like confused and possibly arrogant, right? Mm-hmm. Like conceited, yeah. right? Self-conceited. Or I was just thinking, remember I mentioned to you that like, how do all mammals, like how are they born? Like what's the number one thing they need to just make it at
yeah.
birth?
Yeah.
It's a mother's physical connection.
Yeah.
Like every mammal needs it, including us. Like mm-hmm. If we don't have mom present at the beginning, it doesn't work. Like mammals can't survive without mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that through every age. Yeah. It'll never change. Like we need, and in that picture, we need that connection.
Mm.
Scientifically, God's showing us like, listen, without the one who gave you life, you'll turn to the false things and become false yourself.
Mm.
And so healing starts, as Jesus said, you know, you believe in me, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water, in John chapter 7,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
clearly, you know, we have been given this amazing wisdom. And let's tout it for a minute. Let's talk about...
Well, I got a proverb.
Okay, you drop your proverb first.
Let me throw down a proverb.
I'll drop mine.
You're the proverbs guy. Proverbs 25:28.
Oh, yeah.
I love this one. This says, a person without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And when you mentioned the siege idea, this is the verse that came to me, that imagine not understanding that the reality of the attacks that are coming upon us, and not being ready, not being equipped, not having this source that mm-hmm. is the Holy Spirit and his wisdom, his yeah. personal applied, the prudence that applied wisdom is like a city with no walls. And I think that's when you think about, I mean, we'll talk later about parenting later in the week, but when you don't have any boundaries on how you use your digital
mm-hmm.
devices of all kinds, mm-hmm. if you don't have any boundaries, it's like you've got no walls up
yeah.
and you are just letting in with absolutely no discernment, no judgment. You're just letting it
no
come
prudence.
At you.
There's, yeah, it's true. And it's a warning to all of us because we give it that inch, and you know, the expression is it'll take a mile.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. we have to be vigilant, right? Mm-hmm. Like right, it says that in Proverbs 4:23, you yeah. know, guard your heart. Guard yeah. your heart and guard those things. I mean, you know, we got kids, they roll their eyes with this sometimes.
Oh yeah.
And we're just like just hanging in there like Lord, just be easy on them. Maybe they don't have to learn the hard way. But maybe they do. I mean, for many of us, that's what it was. Like overrun by a wall-less life.
Mm-hmm.
And the world took advantage of it, right? Yeah. The digital world's going to make its roads. Mm-hmm. So like raise up those walls, precepts.
Yeah.
Psalm 119, 104. Like through precepts, we can understand how to hate every evil way.
Yeah.
You know, precepts will do it. They'll give you, you know, armor, like it says,
it's preventive in medicine, right?
Yeah,
it's
because the fiery darts of the devil, they will come. They have come and will come in every age.
Yeah.
He has a short time. We've talked about this some weeks ago, but I was thinking in 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul encourages Timothy. He says that the Lord will give you understanding. It's the Lord that will give you understanding. He's going to provide a way of escape.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to provide understanding for, you know, what seems to be, you know, the city of my life surrounded.
Right.
And I was thinking like, okay, so maybe I'm buried in like a lot of digital, like I have a digital, what's the word? Like I'm consumed by it. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of in every facet
of my life,
right? Yeah. Like it's in every, I have kind of technology at every, you know, edge of my fingers.
Yeah.
What do we do? Like, how can we kind of like set those boundaries in practical ways?
And I think this, this speaks to the verses in 1 Corinthians 6 that we all know very well. They're specifically in regards to sexual immorality, which is the verses that talk about how, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. But in verse 12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And I think that this is a verse that is very personal, because this means that I individually, I can say this to myself in my home, in the privacy of my home with my digital experience and how much I use or don't use it, what I have. I sit with the Lord and I say, yes, all things are lawful for me, but I don't want to be dominated by anything. This is where that humility comes in, where I have to ask God and maybe my, you know, those wiser than me, what are some things that I'm being dominated by, Lord? What are some things that have taken over? Because as we said at the beginning, and maybe to address
this question,
Ms. Pinkova's comment,
yeah,
technology can be a huge blessing. I know people who have been stuck at home with sickness, and being able to watch a church service online or have a video call with their family members is a huge blessing. So we don't want to vilify the entire digital age as bad, but we do want to ask the Lord to give us personally this prudence, this discernment, because
sometimes I need to send my friend a link to the Grace Hour.
Yeah.
But other times I need to go to him directly and we need to go have a walk and we need to go have a coffee and we need to go kick the ball or throw the ball around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like sometimes you send somebody a podcast about grief and sometimes you need to go and hold their hand and cry
and
with
not
them.
Say a thing. You know, it's so true. And I think it is. It is on us. It is very much on us to be sensitive to those out there that could be alone, right?
Yeah. And I think recognizing that the appetites that we have within us, our basic needs, they are not discerning. Mm. They don't have that prudence built into them. Like you think about when you're hungry, the moment you're hungry, you're not automatically going to make the right choice for what food to eat.
And we can't fault them for that.
The hunger just wants to be addressed. It's an appetite and it wants to be satiated. Yeah. Like just fix this problem. So how we fix that problem, that's wisdom.
Yes.
That appetite in and of itself doesn't have.
Right.
If we are hungry for meaning and connection, one person could easily say, I need to go online and make myself known here. Or if I'm hungry for intimacy, that intimacy needs to be satiated. How do I do that? I'm going to turn to porn.
Yeah.
These are, these are appetites that we have in us, but how we address them has to be submitted to God.
And that plays back to the part where it's like, when I know the cultural narratives and the trends as a Christian, and I know that like the spirit of it, I go, I'm not going to like judge them, you know, for where they're at, but I'm going to help walk with them, help them, give them another narrative, right? Like give them another trend.
Yeah.
Bring apart another spirit, a joyful spirit, a funny spirit, like a, you know, a spirit of joy. Like how many times has that brought us out of those funks of like the age we live in, right? Yeah. So I think that's a really good point you made, Liz, is that like we can't fault one another, you know, because then what is that going to do? It really just enables the devil and the age, the evil age, to just get the upper hand when it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it says at the end of that chapter nine, what's the last verse say?
You mean 1 Corinthians?
No.
Where are you?
Ecclesiastes 9, right? It says this, that verse, it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Okay. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. What God has given us through his grace, through his precious grace and his Holy Spirit is better than any physical or, you know, invisible weapon of this world and the devil.
Yeah.
We have it. We got it.
Yeah.
And God is going to help us use it. But may we confess our sins and walk before him in the light as he is in the light, because a sinner can destroy much good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, or we could say maybe instead of saying the word sinner, we could say a disembodied, or you know what I mean? Like someone who's not whole can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Raj. We know this. But my point is like, we have been made whole. Yeah. By Christ.
Yeah.
We have been put in him by his blood, by his work done on the cross for us. So we do and have the wholeness. And I think another thing that speaks loudly to this is I think the wisdom of groups, like group activities, like I think now more than ever, like it says in Hebrews 10, we got to get together more and more as the day approaches.
Yeah.
Like how relevant. That's the word.
I got you, babe.
Thank you. That's what you're here for. I mean, so much more, of course. Sorry. But do you know what I mean? Like, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
it just hits home again and again. It rings true.
Like before we wrap this up too, like we do want to give some practical, wisdom here. Kate mentioned that you recently did a workshop, at the European conference we just had.
Yeah, with Brian Ackerman.
And we've also, when we did an episode way back last year on having a reckoning with your smartphone, we also gave some tips. So we might as well repeat them, because for those listening, there's like little steps that we have taken. Like you were saying, we can't put this on other people. We can say what's helped us. Mm. There's things we've changed in our lives personally, and then as a couple and as a family, that we can say definitely have improved our real in-life relationships.
Yes.
And our life.
And our connections.
Yeah, our connection that is real, and we know there's value in community, all these things. So a couple, it'd just be worth mentioning, right? The main thing really is your relationship with your smartphone. That's a big one. We have started leaving our smartphones at a docking station right at the door of our house.
Mm-hmm.
We do not live with our smartphones in our bedroom.
Yeah. I remember it was like Anna and Neil Berganza like years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had a docking station and I was like,
they were the ones.
And I was like carrying in my first child into their home.
Yeah.
It was like Paige.
Yeah.
It was more than 10 years ago and they had a docking station. I was like, that's amazing.
The idea there is that you have
separation.
Life that is not connected to your phone. Yes. We went on a walk this morning and we left our phones. We left our phones. We did not bring them on. I wear a watch. The reason I wear a watch is because
I game changers.
I found myself pulling out my phone just to look at what time it was.
And then
you open up your phone and, so that we use alarm clocks, old mm-hmm. school alarm clocks in our bedrooms. Our phones are not in our rooms. We have, of course, no phones at the dinner table when we talk with our kids. As much as possible, if a kid approaches me, my phone is down so that I can look them in the eye.
Sometimes it's up, though. And then our kids go,
Yeah, they call us out. You can put screen time limits on your phone and, of course, TV, whatever.
I encourage people to go to church without their phone. Leave it in your car, guys.
Leave the phone in the
car. Before you go to church, just leave it. Because if you need someone's
number... But what
about
the Bible on your phone? The Bible app?
No, we're all about hard copies here.
Oh my gosh.
We all know our own phone number, right?
Yeah.
So we can remember. Remember the days of knowing everyone's phone number? Bring it back, you know? And if you need to know someone else's phone number, you can just jot it down in your notebook.
Or write it down.
If you got a pen.
Yep.
Those are fun things to do.
These are fun things. So leaving your phone behind in general, if you're going on a walk, to go sit on your porch without your phone. Go watch your kids play outside without your phone. So much of it is just about like opening your eyes to this potentially unhealthy connection that you have.
Yeah.
And the more you're open to it, the more that the Holy Spirit will kind of point things out. That's what we've noticed as it's progressed. And again, this is not to give a formula that everybody should be following, but just that we would recognize that we are under siege and we do want to be people who have wisdom that is protecting
prudence.
Us.
And we're the masters. We're not the slaves.
Yeah.
We're the head. We're not the tail.
Right. We are not dominated by these things that technology has brought into our lives.
Right. Remember Pastor Schaller's like amazing quote on that chapter?
No, I have it.
What is it?
Do I have it written
here? The greatest pleasure in life is to have authority over pleasure.
Yes. Yes.
I love that. That brings us home, you know, and it brings us to connection.
Brings us back to connection.
Convenience says this is pleasure, but really to have authority over that convenience. And I have my Amazon account and I order 2-day shipping. Okay. it's
gotta
like
be prime.
You use it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like there's more to it. And to have the authority over the things that God has given us, both as a blessing and we're now recognizing our curse.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, give us authority today. Give the listeners authority today. Break through these barriers, Lord, even in our surrounded life that we might have right now. We just pray for everyone. Give them the wisdom. Give them that key that unlocks and defeats the devil, defeats this world system, and defeats the enemy's attacks. And we just pray these things by your grace in your name. Amen.
Yeah. Wow. Amen. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in and joining us today. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you watch or listen, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and tune in. This week is going to be a great week talking about technology and the digital age.